chapter 6. That's where we're at. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Luke 6, 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Oh, well, somebody got to put a monkey in the thing already. And doeth them. I thought Christianity was just hearing it and having a position and being able to mouth the right words. Well, if you got to do something, I don't know if I might bail out here. He that heareth my words and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We ask Thee, O God, to give us liberty and power to preach. I pray, give us wisdom in what we say. I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit might take the word spoken and change it, alter it, do whatever's necessary, that when it lodges in the hearts and the minds of the hearer, it would be exactly what they need this day. Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to bring a little message this morning entitled, Without Foundations. Everything I know of, and I've tried to reflect upon it in the last few days and think about it and consider it and evaluate it and analyze it. I tried to be exhaustive in my research and analytical in my work. And my conclusion is that there is absolutely nothing in this world that's worthwhile, that's profitable, that doesn't have a foundation somewhere. If it doesn't have a foundation, if there's no foundation, it has no underpinning, it usually just ain't worth a hoot. Amen? Now, I listen to radio a lot because I can't play MP3s or DVDs or CDs or anything in my work truck because all I have is a lousy radio that doesn't even work good. If y'all feel led of the Lord to put me a nice system in, but so I listen to the radio. And on the radio, they have advertisements. And all the time I hear these advertisements, companies up in Charlotte, and they're saying, is your chimney separating from the house? Is your foundation, your underpinning cracked? Are your walls twisted and warped? You need to have your foundation checked. We'll come with these ramjack beers or whatever it is, and we'll fix the foundation. I thought, you know, the problem with this whole thing is the foundation's messed up. But it has messed up the chimney. It's messed up the walls. It's messed up the brick underneath the house. Everything's cracked, twisted, and out of shape. And the windows won't open. And the doors won't close. And the refrigerator shakes when it runs because the floor's not level. And the whole problem the whole time was the doggone foundation. The foundation supported everything else. If the foundations fail, if the foundations go bad, if the foundation is removed, everything that was erected on the foundation crumbles and falls. The honest truth is that the foundation is absolutely essential. I got thinking about that thing, and I thought, there's something that's worthwhile that doesn't have a foundation. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I came to a conclusion. That's just not so. I went so far as to say, my wife, every day when she puts on her makeup, it starts with a foundation. She puts on the foundation so she'll have a smooth surface to paint on. Now, you don't get much more fundamental than that. Amen. That's as foundational as you can get. Now, the Bible's got a lot to say about foundations. I'm not going to bore you with all of it. I'll just give you a couple of examples here. The earth has foundations. Job chapter 38, verse 6. The city of God has foundations. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Revelation chapter 21, verse 19. And those foundations are laid deep. Luke 6, 48. You got to put the foundation down deep so it's on. You ever watch them build bridges and stuff across rivers? And they come in there with them pile drivers, and they take them big old long things and they drive them and they drive them and they. So what are they doing? They're getting down to where it's hard rock, bedrock. So when they build that bridge on that foundation, that thing won't settle in 10 or 15 years. Wherever they put it, it's going to stay there. Amen. I mean, they could come in there and put a 6 by 6 foot piece of concrete on the bottom, put a stanchion on it, build a bridge, and after you run a few of them 18-wheelers across there, 120, 130,000 pounds apiece, in a year or two, that bridge would be falling apart. But boy, if you take them things and drive them down 15, 20, 30, whatever feet it is necessary to get down to the bedrock, and then you build that bridge, that sucker will be there 100 years from now. It ain't going nowhere. All depends on a foundation. Now, what if there weren't any foundations? Now, not just about buildings. You've got to make an application here that extends beyond the physical. See, when I said everything that's worthwhile has foundations, I didn't confine that remark just to concrete and steel and wood. I believe everything that's worthwhile and good has to be secured to a foundation. Our republic has to have a foundation. Your religion has to have a foundation. Your marriage has to have a foundation. Amen? You ever think about this? Your children come into the world, and they come into the world with no foundation. And it becomes your job as mom and dad to lay foundations. So I want to talk to you on that subject for a few minutes this morning. And I figured that I might end up being somewhat verbose. And so that's the reason we didn't have a song service, because I needed the extra time. I want to give you five examples of things that are of no value. Five things that will collapse, fall into disrepute or anarchy or whatever, if the foundations are allowed to crumble. We'll give you five examples this morning, and of course there are more, and I certainly can't enumerate all of the foundational principles involved in any of these things. I just had to take a couple or three, and so don't say, this is a foundation. Why didn't he mention that? Because that wasn't what I was interested in. That's why. I subjectively selected those things that are near and dear to my own heart. You want to do a thing on foundation? Pick your own. But these are mine. Somebody say amen right there. Let me give you these five things that are worthless if they don't have foundations, or if they have improper foundations, or if the foundations they have are allowed to crumble. Foundation is absolutely essential. If anything happens to it, if it's erected initially on a weak foundation, it will not last. If the foundations are built properly and but allowed to deteriorate, whatever is built on it will still fall. It is absolutely essential that you not only start with the right foundation, but that you maintain the foundation in good repair. And I'm afraid we're in great danger of letting some very important foundations crumble. They were right. They were proper. They were good. They were strong. They were what was needed. They have done the job. They have sustained the house that was erected upon them down through all these years. But of late, we have let the foundations come into disrepair, and they are in danger of crumbling. And everything, our society, our government, our way of life, that was built on those foundations is in danger of being whisked away in one great fall. Number one, the foundation of government. Now, the foundations of our government were laid by our forefathers. And contrary to what they're taught in school these days, these were some brilliant men. These were some men that had seen tyranny and religious bigotry up close and personal. And they knew whereof they spoke. And I'm here to tell you, some 200 years later, having never seen it and never observed it, you are in no position to criticize what they did. Now, what are the foundations of government that must be maintained? I'm assuming that, I'm declaring that, the foundations were right and proper when they were laid. And it has stood this country in good stead all these many years. The ones that are in danger of falling today, the ones that we've let erode and decay, are these. Number one, freedom of worship. I don't care what anybody tells you in any periodical or in any biased, slanted, communist, socialist, Nazi, hoodlum, left-wing, atheistic, godless bunch of reprobates declare that America was not a Christian nation, are just ignorant of the facts. The truth is, this nation was founded and formed as a Christian nation. Christian, not Muslim, not Hindu, not anything else. It wasn't just theism or deism or any of those other isms. It was Christianity. Amen. And this nation was founded so that you would have the freedom to worship God. It, by the way, was not founded so you'd have the freedom not to worship God. Amen. Now, they want to change all that and rewrite history. They have a terrible time because there are just too many documents in existence that refute the stupidity of their assertion. So what they tried to do, they tried to hide them. But there's still plenty of them in print. And if you go down and spend a few dollars, you'd find out that all your founding forefathers from George Washington up were God-fearing men and Bible-believing men. And they founded this nation on the principle of freedom to worship. And anything and everything that your government does to deny or curtail or in any way impugn on your ability or liberty or right to worship God Almighty as your conscience dictates is a transgression of the Constitution and the intents of our forefathers. America was founded on justice, equality, liberty, individual rights. Oh, let me park there for a minute. I'm sick and tired of civil rights. I'm not a communist and I don't like anything that's in the collective. Amen. I'm an individual rights, personal liberty, personal rights kind of individual. That's what your forefathers bled and died for. Now listen, tell you something. Every time your government passes civil rights legislation, they handcuff your individual liberties and your individual rights. Amen? They say, well, it's for the good of the masses. I don't want to be numbered in the masses. I want to remain and maintain my individuality. I want to be a separate and distinct person. I want to stand out in the crowd. Lump me in the crowd with all them folks. I'm a unique creation in the sight of God Almighty. And I don't want to be in nobody's collective. Yeah. Amen. So make some individual liberties for me. Yeah. The government's lost its mind. justice and equality. I believe in justice and equality and liberty. Amen? I'm a fanatic about it. I go over the edge about it. A couple of years ago, folks come by here and want me to sign a petition because somebody was going to build a plant right across the street there to make asphalt or some nasty, noisy, dirty, stinking kind of a thing. And they want me to sign this petition so they couldn't build it. And I wouldn't sign it. I said, do you want an asphalt plant across the street? I said, no. But why won't you sign it? I said, did that guy buy that dirt? Did he pay for it? Will what he's going to do actually hurt me or harm me? No. I said, now let him build what he wants to. If I don't like it, bless God, I'll put up a fence. Amen. Say why? Because I believe in individual liberty. I believe in individual rights. And I don't think me and you ought to sit here and tell that guy what about that piece of dirt, what he can put on it. Unless it's going to pollute the groundwater and poison my youngins. So then I can protest that. I can get against that. But just because it's unsightly or noisy, smelly, he bought it, he paid for it. He got the right to do whatever he doggone well pleases about it. Amen? I got me 2 acres out here on Highway 49. Bless God, don't come stick your long nose in what I'm doing on it, okay? That's mine. I bought it and I paid for it and I paid the taxes on it. That's mine. I'm building me a liquor still out there. I want to. Now, I don't want to, but I would if I wanted to. Mine. Amen? I like them individual rights. I love liberty. I like equality. Now, I have on occasion had people protest my stance on the races. And there's nothing wrong with my stance on the races. I'm going to tell you something. I'm white. And if you cut me, the blood comes out of my hand is red. And take a black fellow over here and cut his hand, the blood comes out of his hand is red. Amen. Now I want to make a good living. I want a house to live in. I want a woman to sleep with. I want my grandkids to come visit. Amen. You told this black fellow over here, or this yellow fellow, whoever it is, they want exactly the same thing. I ain't got no problem with none of that. And if he wants to get out there and work like me and work like you, if he makes $100 gazillion next year, glory to God, I hope he moves next door to me because he'll have all that stuff on his lawn made trickle over to mine. I don't hold nobody back. I think anybody will work and got the brains and gets the brakes and go for it, son. Help yourself. Amen. Now, I'm just opposed to interracial marriage. I don't think blacks ought to marry whites. I don't think blacks ought to marry yellows. I don't think yellows ought to marry whites. If you're white, you ought to marry white. If you're black, you ought to marry black. If you're yellow, you ought to marry yellow. Amen? I'm not a bigot like some of these Southerners down here where it's just a black-white issue. It's okay to marry a Filipino, but you can't marry a black. I don't see no difference myself. Amen? After his own guy, marry your own guy. That's all. That's the whole extent of my racism. Amen. I got plenty of black friends. I love black folks. I wouldn't be any. I'd be as civil to them as anybody in the world. God just made us different. That's all. Somebody say amen. Now, how did I get off on that? Where was I at? Before I got. Oh, talking about equality. Now, I think there ought to be equality. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't think anybody ought to be held down or denied anything simply on the basis of their race, their skin color, their sex. If you're qualified to do it, if you have the ability to do it, go for it. And I think anybody that holds you back and hinders you, we ought to get a hold of them fellas and straighten them out. Amen. Ought to have equality. Ought to be equality under the law. Ought not to be one set of rules for this group and another set for that group. I don't care who they are. I believe in equality under the law. Justice ought to be blind. It ought not know whether you're black, white, or yellow. It just ought to know whether you're guilty or innocent. But buddy, those principles, those foundations are under attack. They are crumbling. The I got to move on. I'll be here forever. One of the foundations of our government was restrictions of government power. That's an underpinning. That's a foundational principle of the American way. That's the reason we have a Congress and a Senate and a President and the Supreme Court. And so nobody can get too powerful and too big. And one holds the other one in check. And when this one would run rampant, this one reaches and grabs him by the nape of the neck. Boy, we're just about to lose all that. You would think that our new president was a king, that he was a sovereign monarch, that he was a dictator of some sort. And he may have those delusions in the back of his mind. I don't know. All I know is before he gets there, there has to be a great American revolution, because rednecks like me and some of y'all are going to fight till hell freezes over before that happens. Somebody say amen right there. We need to protect the foundations of our government. And they're under attack by every liberal, left-wing, and moderate Republican, whatever the heck that is. Oh, really, I wanted to cuss there, but I didn't because I'm a gentleman. Y'all know what I wanted to say. Y'all fill in the blanks. Glory to God. And then the sin's on you. Number two, foundation of the government. Then there's the foundation of the family. We're trying to undermine the foundation of the family. It was bad enough when the morons in charge decided that a single-parent family was as good as a two-parent family. That's just plain stupid. And it don't work near as well. I'm not saying it can't be done, but boy, it's a whole lot harder. It takes a lot more effort, it takes a lot longer, and not near as successful, near as often. Amen? Now, if you find yourself in a situation where you're a single parent, then blessed be God, you pray to God Almighty, and you do the best you can, and you work with that young'un, and you try and teach it, and train it, and establish it, and give it a good foundation. Amen? But we'd be a whole lot better off if we had a mama and a daddy in the house. Amen? I think we ought to do away with the divorce laws. But God, when you say till death do we part, we say, okay, that's law. That's written in stone right there. There ain't no separate. There ain't no out. You might figure out a way to work it out, because that's all there is, bud. But we're really trying to undermine the foundation of marriage, because now we want to say, it don't have to be a man and a woman for it to be a marriage. It can be a boy and a boy, or a girl and a girl. I submit unto thee, my fellow citizens, that the fine folks who have determined that marriage can be constituted and legal and proper and work just as well when it's Bob and Bill or Jane and Sue are all insane. They lost their ever-loving mind. They're just nutty as a fruitcake, son. I'm here to tell you, young'uns need a mama and a daddy. And the underpinning, the foundation of marriage has been one man and one woman since time immemorial. God made Adam and Eve. It was not Adam and Steve. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm here to tell you that in a two-parent family where one is a male and one is a female, children have the proper balance and see the right relationship, and the right foundation is laid in their fertile little skulls of mush. Hey, I got that from Rush Limbaugh. I'll steal from anybody. Nothing is sacred to me. Listen, little girls need to see mom and daddy. They need to see a proper relationship. They need to see the affection between mom and dad. I don't mean be coarse or rude, but bless God, little young'uns need to see mom and daddy love each other a little bit. A little hug every now and then. A kiss on the cheek or even on the lips when you come home from work is not necessarily inappropriate. Amen? Kind words. That little boys and little girls, they need to see that stuff. And they can't see it if there ain't a husband and a wife in the house. Amen? And they don't need to see two fellas kissing each other neither. I mean, gag me with a spoon, boy. That's nasty. Foundation of the family. Family's supposed to be a mama and a daddy living together to raise them young. Now, let me move along quickly because I'm going to get bogged down here in a minute. I'm just giving you the intro here. This is the prelude. The curtain rises on the main act in a second. Foundation of government, foundation of the family. Then there's a foundation for marriage. You think I've covered that already? You don't know nothing. Now, foundation for marriage, of course, is a man and a woman. Somebody said, well, the foundation of marriage is love. Now, I love love. I'm a hopeless romantic. I tell you what, them candlelight things and the flowers, you know, and the strawberries dipped in chocolate and the rose petals on the floor. I mean, I get it. I love that stuff, man. Whoa, baby! I know where all that goes. Somebody say, glory to God! But honest truth is, love is not the foundation of marriage. As wonderful as it is. Love is the inspiration for marriage. But it's not the foundation. You know what the foundation for marriage is? Not near as glamorous or exciting, but boy, it sure is essential. The foundation for marriage is trust. If you don't believe it, break it and see what happens. That love thing, it can be, I mean, it's so sweet. And it's overwhelming at times. And some days, you're just so in love. And sometimes, you're just so in love. Amen. It kind of comes and goes. But if you break trust, that thing's ready to fall. If you call my wife tonight and said, I done gone seen your husband down at Hattie's whorehouse or whatever it is, she don't believe a word. I guarantee she won't believe it. She's lived with me 46 years. She knows what I believe, how I live, where I've gone, what my values are. She ain't going to believe a word you say. She's going to get mad at you for starting telling bad stories on her man. Amen. And I'm going to say, sick them, baby. Say, why? Because we got 46 years of trust built up. That's why. When that marriage vow said, do you take her to be thy lawful wedded wife? To have and hold and cherish and all that? I said, yep, sure do, huh? And keeping thyself to her alone. Hold it! Excuse me, does that mean what I think it means? Does that mean there can't ever be any other woman in my life? I'm never to have another relationship. This thing has to be 100% totally monogamous, just me and her, from now till we die or Jesus comes? That's what that means. Okay, put us back on the program. I do. Amen. So what does that mean? That means I ain't looking nowhere else. I ain't going nowhere else. I ain't pressing nothing else. Amen. Say why? Because I'm a man. And I have some character. And I have some principle. And there's some things I believe. And that thing said, when you give your word's supposed to be your bond. Amen? And she's trusting me because she got my word on it. And if she finds out I lied about that thing, not only is her heart broken, but our trust is broken. Our marriage from that point forward is on shaky ground. Amen. I read a sign the other day that said, tell one lie and 1,000 truths will be doubted. Trust, boy. What is a marriage without trust? I was in the Navy, and we go to Westpac, you know, we went to Vietnam. And every day the mail would come, And some of them guys would get them letters from their wife, they'd be afraid to open them. Afraid to open that thing. And it figured out after a while, she'd run around before, or he'd run around before, and now he's been gone 5-6 months. And he's worried. He really doesn't have any trust in her. The foundation has been shattered. And now, every time it's a day or two late getting a letter, or if maybe the letter's just real thin, I mean, it don't long say, Dear John. They're afraid to open it. They want to go off someplace all by themselves. I was on the ship one day. This fella got a letter. A very thin letter. From his wife. And he walked over on the side of the ship to the well where the elevators are, where the airplanes go up and down. And he opened that letter. And he opened it and he read it. And he just threw it over the side of the ship. And then he jumped over. See, you can't destroy that trust. You can't destroy that foundation and expect that marriage to be strong and be able to endure the storms that come through normal living. You've got to keep that foundation strong. Now, I got some other points there, adherence to duty and respect and all that. One of the great failings in marriage, one of the things that destroys marriage is we lose respect for each other. And I don't have time to get on it because that's a subject that takes a long time. But I'll tell you what, you need to live your life so that your mate respects you the day you die like she did the day she married you. Number 3, 4, wherever I'm at. Children. Foundation. Now remember in my opening remarks, in the monologue, I said, children are born without foundation. And God gave them a mama and a daddy. You know what your job is? You take that innocent little life and lay the foundations that it can build a successful life upon. The most awesome task, the most awesome responsibility any of us ever assumed in this lifetime was the laying of the proper foundation in the mind of our little children that will sustain them and give them strength to weather the storm and fight the battles that are necessary to have a successful life. The foundation that will carry them from here to the graveyard and to eternity beyond. Now, here are some of the foundations that are necessary if you want successful children. You got young'uns? You want to turn out right, don't you? You want to live a good life and be happy and end up in heaven. That's what I want for mine, buddy. I've never worried about them being famous or rich or any of that kind of stuff. Man, if they could just be happy and productive and live for God, I'd be a happy camper. If I could put the foundations in their little head that would cause them to do that and to weather the storms that will oppose that, I would consider myself an enormous success. Now, here are the foundations. These are the ones that are important to me anyway. The foundations that we need to lay in the hearts and mind of our children. Number one, they need an honest, perpetual, sincere demonstration of love. Now, you know, you hear the liberals and all that talk about love, 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 and it's all this emotional claptrap, you know, and I feel good and you feel good and we're all warm and fuzzy and all that nonsense. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of love where daddy will get up when he feels bad and go to work because he needs that day's work to put groceries on that table for that young'un. I'm talking about the kind of love that will show that kid and lay a foundation that there's a relationship between that man and that woman that brought them into this world that supersedes all others. Them children need to know there's a special bond and a special union between mom and daddy that transcends anything and everything else in this world. Boy, I wish every kid could get that in their head. Get that appreciation for marriage, that respect for the union of a husband and a wife, and take that into their heart and live with that every day of their life as long as they live. What a wonderful thing that would be. Children need that demonstration of love. Not emotional claptrap, but good, solid demonstration that fulfills obligations and performs duties. In good times and in bad times, when there's adversity and when there's not adversity, when it's easy to do and when it's hard to do, because it's the right thing to do. It's the thing we obligated ourselves to do. Boy, that'd be a good foundation for youngins, wouldn't it? I don't think that would hurt anybody you know. Number two, those children need a foundation of instruction in religion. Say, well, man, we got our kids are involved in so many things. They just love sports and they go to basketball practice and they go to softball practice and they play basketball. And boy, they want to play some soccer. And you know, our little girls are cheerleaders. Yeah, your little girls run around 2/3 naked showing their butt in front of the whole crowd. Yeah, I know what kind of, yeah. If I had a girl, I didn't have no girl. But if I'd had a girl, I'll tell you right now, it wouldn't be no cheerleader. That's just me, though. I'm old-fashioned. I'm downright weird. But she still wouldn't have been no cheerleader. Somebody say amen right there. So, what do you say all that for? Well, you can make commitments to do all that stuff and drive your car and put your gas in it and sit there for hours bored to tears watching them practice and do all this, that, and the other and take them to every cotton picking game under the sun. And you can't get them to church 4 Sundays out of 4. We'll start at 11 o'clock. Well, we just have a hard time getting there. Well, how do you get to school on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? How do you get to football practice and softball practice? Well, we just have to run ourselves to death, man. Sometimes it's a real struggle, but, you know, the kids are involved. And we're talking about a foundation that we're going to lay for the worship of Almighty God that will sustain them through every trial and tribulation and trouble for the rest of their life. And you can't get them to church 4 times a week? God have mercy! What is wrong with you? Lay the foundation of faith in God and attendance to God's house. The day will come when they want to do some wild and woolly thing and do some things that are going to bring you heartbreak and hurt that you could have missed if you had got them in God's house and got them under the preaching of the Word of God and laid that foundation sure and strong. You say, well, I've seen people do that and their kids still go bad. Yeah, but mom and daddy go to sleep at night because, bless God, they knew they did what they were supposed to do. Amen. Children need instruction in religion. And bless God, the foundation ought to be more than just at the church house. There ought to be some Christianity at home. You ought to dress like a Christian in the house and talk like a Christian in house and have the same convictions at home that you got everywhere else. Amen. You bring them down here for the lesson. You take them home for the demonstration of the lesson. We need some foundations laid. So, like, here's some foundations you could lay, whether you're Christian or not. Honesty, truthfulness, dependability, trust, character, integrity, honor. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. 90% of what I am today, whatever that is, and we all have different opinions, I'm very pleased with what I am. of what I am today was laid in my heart and in my head when I was a little boy, years before I became a Christian. My daddy said, son, men don't lie. If you did it, stand and take your licks for it. Amen. He said, if you can't do that, then don't do it. If you can't stand to what you do, don't do it. Well, I thought that's a good principle. Amen. He said, have some honor. Have some character. Have some integrity. If you believe something, you ought to stand up like a man, no matter where you're at, and say, I'm not going along with this homosexual thing. I'm not going along with this drinking crowd. I'm not going along with that gambling crowd. I'm not going along with that abortion crowd. I'm not going along with that shacking up crowd. Say, why? I'm a Christian, and I believe all that's wrong. And I don't care if everybody else in here disagrees. I got that foundation laid in my heart when I was a little boy. Before I became a Christian, I knew that stuff was wrong. I didn't go through a radical change in some areas. Now, some places I did. But in some areas, there was almost no change when I became a Christian. I didn't have to change my position on abortion or homosexuality or divorce. I believe exactly the same thing now that I did then. Say, why? Because somebody spent some time when I was a little boy laying a foundation on which I could build for the rest of my life. The foundations laid in childhood are the ones that are laid the deepest. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I've heard a million interpretations of that verse, and I got two or three myself, depending on who I'm with. What I'm trying to prove. But I'm going to tell you something. The things that mom and dad skillfully lay in the hearts of their children from birth to about 10 years old, I'm not saying they can't crumble. I'm not saying they can't be supplanted, but boy, sure is hard. You know the problem is? Most mamas and daddies aren't laying any foundations. My wife read me a thing the other day that startled me right down to my sock. Gave me cold chills. It was some little paper and it had some statistics in it. And one of the statistics was this. Your children, from first grade to 12th grade, spend over 14,000 hours with school teacher. The public school gets the mind of your kids for over 14,000 hours. In that same period, if you take your children to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and you never miss the church, I get your children's brain, I get a shot at their heart, for under 2,200 hours. Almost seven times as much influence by a godless, socialist, National Education Association pervert as they get from the preacher of the Word of God. And we wonder why the minds of our children and their morals and their principles are so radically different from ours, because the schoolhouse laid the foundation that went into their little head. Not the church and not mama and daddy. And then mama and dad said, well, we can skip church tonight because we got a ball game. Some, we don't skip church. I don't care if hell is burning. Amen. Amen. Number five. All I need is another 30 minutes. Because here's the place where we need some foundations laid. Christianity. Christianity is under attack by virtually everybody. I remember when I first got saved and I hear preachers say, the world is no friend of grace. And that's true. But boy, it's got a lot worse since then. That's 36 years ago. The world's changed. They never were our friend, but they were tolerant. Bless God, today, they just downright intolerant. The world hates Christianity. It is under attack. We want to get rid of it everywhere. People say, well, you know, we'll become liberal and we'll be more like them and they'll love us. They don't. They don't love a liberal Lutheran or Episcopalian or Methodist or Presbyterian any more than they love you independent fundamental hell raisers. As far as they're concerned, pick up some of their periodicals and magazines or books that's written about Christianity. And you know what? They list a Methodist and a Presbyterian and Episcopalian and the Church of God and the Nazarene and the Pentecostal Holiness and the Southern Baptist and the Independent Baptist. They collectively put us all in one group called us fundamentalists. Well, I'm telling you what, buddy, if that Presbyterian's a fundamentalist, I'm a radical fundamentalist. Now, there's some foundations that they're trying to erode in Christianity. Now, the foundations of Christianity were laid by Jesus Christ and the apostles and the early church fathers. Foundations were laid. And they were right. And they were good. And they have helped us and sustained us all through these years, down through 2,000 years. The influence of Christianity has done more to civilize and mold and make humanity civil and prosperous. Christianity is responsible for the Industrial Revolution. It's responsible for getting rid of the feudal system. Every good thing that you can that can be taughted in our civilization the last 2,000 years is a direct working out of Christianity. The hospitals and the charities and all that good stuff has its roots in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't get any credit. It's denied. Do you think that secularism and humanism and do-goodism produced it all? Buddy, it ain't so. That's a lie right out of the pits of hell. They're the fundamentals of our Christianity are under attack. They're being eroded. And you and I need to make sure that they remain strong. It's up to us. We are the generation that's here now, and so we are hereby entrusted with the preservation of the foundation of our Christianity. Number one, foundation that needs to protect it is God is. You got that? You say, well, that's so simple. Everybody believes that. No, everybody don't believe that. I don't believe that. And if you leave it to science and education, that's the two sister uglies. If you leave it to science and education, and that includes the philosopher under the heading of education, they all deny God. Einstein, who is the God supremo of the intellectual world, believed that God was mathematics. I don't believe God's mathematics. I don't think God's an equation. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what. I can stand and cite E equals MC squared. E is energy. C is constant. The constant is the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second per second. Just the constant. Squared, that is the speed of light times itself, equals energy. Anything that exceeds the speed of light expands to unknown dimensions. That's why you have an explosion. I can recite that till my teeth fall out. And I don't feel any holier or any cleaner. And it doesn't make me a better man. It doesn't give me more compassion or more understanding. It don't do squat. But I tell you what, when I read of the love of Jesus Christ that gave Himself on Calvary's cross to save a sinner like me, it changed my heart, it changed my mind, and it changed my life. Amen? I'm telling you, God is, whether they believe it or not. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'm not that big a fool. So we need to emphasize that there is a God. There is. God is. Secondly, one of the foundations that it's under attack this foundation is ready to crumble. It is in such bad shape. So what is that? The Bible is true. 220 plus translations to make it clearer. You got to write a thing 220 times so some sixth grade kid can understand it? I want to tell you something. I've read the Bible way over 130 times. Way over. And I pretty much understood 90% of it the very first time I ever read it. You see, I read down there and said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." I understood that. I didn't need some learned man with a degree after his name to come down and say, "Now, Brother Bob, what that really means is this, you know." What he was trying to say there was, I don't need some talking head to explain, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Or, "Thou shalt not kill." Or, "Thou shalt not steal." Amen. When I read over there, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish," I got that. I know what eternal is. I got it. What He gave me was eternal. What He gave me was life. So what He gave me was eternal life. You can't take it away, and I can't lose it. It's mine. God gave it to me. See, you don't have to be educated. I'm educated. I don't sound like it, right? I try not to let it mess me up. I don't want to get educated beyond my intelligence. You can be, by the way, it just proves you can be educated and still believe the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I forgot where I was at. I was laying some foundation. This book I got in my hand is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And I have absolute and complete and utter faith in that book. People say, "Well, I believe the Bible, you know, but science says..." I don't give a hoot what science says. If it crosses that book, they're wrong. I got a book laying on my little thing beside my chair by a guy named Dawkins. It's called The Blind Watchmaker. Dawkins is a big-time scientist, and he is the leading proponent for evolution. If you're anti-God, anti-creation, this is the guy you ought to read. He's the top dog in that field. All the pro-evolution crowd follows and worships at his shrine. I've got his little book. It's called The Blind Watchmaker. And the book, the premise of the book, is to illustrate and demonstrate that random chance in and of itself with no plan and no intention can produce everything that's here. And he uses this computer to prove that. He takes a typewriter and he, you know, with the 26 keys on it, and it just punches away and out comes nonsense. And he does it again, and out comes nonsense. So Mr. Dawkins writes a little program to take away some of the randomness, is what he's doing, and limit the number of characters. And then in just a couple of hours, he types the thing, the computer types out, and here are these little things. One looks like a mosquito, and one looks like a little guy in a space suit. They're just ink blobs. But he names them all. And to him, that's an illustration that if you let randomness work, sooner or later it will produce these things that are recognizable. And that's the whole premise of the book. Now, I got to that section and he did all that stuff. And all my books are marked. You don't want to ever read behind me. I cuss a lot when I write. And I'm not stealing. In the margin of the book, I got notes. And I said, "This guy's a moron. He's sitting there telling me random chance can do all this. And 1 to the 292nd power, which is more numbers than the world's got. That means free electrons in the universe. But if you leave it alone long enough, all this would have come about. But it was going to take too long to illustrate that." Amazing. So he cheated and put in his primitive program to shorten the process. Said, why? Because he couldn't prove his point without cheating. That's why. Idiot. You know. But he thought we was gullible enough not to see that. But we saw it. The Bible is true. Sin is real. I don't care what society says, sin is still a real thing, and God still hates it, and sin is still what sends people to hell. The wages of sin is death. Got that? All have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. There's none that seeketh after God. Now the world wants to do away with sin. They want to do away with it. Premarital sex, extramarital sex, sex for fun. No big deal. You know what they say? Here's the response when you bring that up to one of these educated buffoons. Well, it's only sex. It's only sex. It's just a biological urge. It's just a physical function. No big deal. Well, you know, if you were a dog, you could disassociate all those things from conscience. But you're not a dog. And you got something your dog ain't got. Conscience. And that thing's going to bug you. Torment you. That's why you got all these shrinks trying to convince you that you don't have one. But if you didn't have one, you wouldn't have to go to the shrink in the first place. See, we're not nearly so smart, but we're more smarter than that. Sin's real. Salvation is only in Christ. That's the foundation. The world wants you to think that, well, if you're just good enough long enough and good enough, you'll be all right. No, you won't. You're going to die and go to hell. Not by works of righteousness we've done, but by His mercy hath He saved us. Salvation is by grace through faith and not works lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. But man, you can't find a half a dozen churches that preach and teach that. The emphasis in almost every liberal modernist church in the world is do-goodism. And I know some folks, man, if you can get there being good, they a sure candidate. Matter of fact, if you had to get there by being good, I'd be worried. I'm only good on Sundays. Salvation, according to Jonah, is of the Lord. There's one plan, and it's through one man. And that's all there is. And buddy, we can't let them destroy that. We got to stand up. And when the Muslims say, well, there's Muhammad and Allah and all. Listen, Allah ain't the same Jehovah I worship. Amen. They're not the same gods. Amen. By the way, they didn't teach the same thing. Jesus, right, Christ could read and write, and Muhammad couldn't. Everything Muhammad ever wrote, somebody else wrote it for him because he couldn't read and write. And he couldn't have a vision until he had an epileptic fit. And that's after he'd spent the night with some little boy or some little girl because he was a pedophile. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And you can't let the world believe anything else. We are duty bound. We are honor bound to declare unto the world there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Except Jesus Christ. Foundations. Here's a foundation that's crumbling. Every Christian is a missionary. So our church supports so many missionaries. Well, whoop-de-doo. Your church ought to be missionary. Somebody said, are you a missionary Baptist? Boy, I am. Now, I know what they're talking about. I ain't one of them. But I'm missionary Baptist. I think every saved person, every man, woman, boy, and girl that's saved by God's grace and go to a Baptist church, you ought to be a missionary. When you go to work tomorrow, everybody out there ought to be your target. Amen? And some of y'all live in target-rich environments. You're supposed to be a missionary. You're an ambassador. You're supposed to be in the whole world preaching gospel to every creature. They're trying to tell us we can't proselyte. Now, if the government has its way in the next year or two, you won't be allowed to pass out tracts or try to convince somebody they're in the wrong religion. It will be a crime in the United States of America to try and convert somebody from their religion to your religion. Everybody will be born into a religion and die in that same religion. But one of the foundations of Christianity is we're a proselyting religion. We're missionary. We're evangelistic. We're out to convert everybody. So why? Because if you're not saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Last but not least, the foundation of Christianity is that the gospel is good for everybody. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not limited to white Americans or white Europeans. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for one and all. He came to take away the sin of the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We do not have the right, I don't care how bigoted, I don't care how racist you may be, if you're saved by God's grace, you are obligated by the gospel to preach the same gospel to everybody. The ones you like and the ones you don't like, the ones you approve of and the ones you don't approve of. Nobody is to be omitted. Nobody is to be overlooked. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for one and all. Well, we don't like that group. We don't approve of that. God likes that group and God approves of that group. Now, you may not want them in your church, but bless God, you ought to want them in heaven. The foundations are under attack. If the foundations fall, it all falls. If the foundations of Christianity crumble, if the foundations of Christianity crumble, if the foundations aren't laid in our children, if we let the foundations of marriage, if we let the foundations of our family, if we let the foundations of our government deteriorate and crumble, society and life and liberty and family and government and religion as we know it will cease to exist. But it cannot fall and it cannot fail as long as the foundations stand strong and true. Now, it bothers me that we live in a generation where we're not exercised or compelled to build upon this foundation. But we're not there. I think that day's gone. Where we are in the generation that is trying to maintain and repair the foundations. Just bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the opportunity to preach and to bear our soul.